A couple of weeks ago, or a little bit less than that, I was coming up from Portavogie. Been down there at a funeral service. I think I mentioned that to the congregation, that I was going to a funeral down there. I was coming along the coast, and I looked at it. There's a big stone, a big rock out there in the sea, just out a few metres out into the sea. And for a long number of years, there have been words put on it that say, "Prepare to meet thy God." Prepare to meet thy God. There are similar words as you drive up into Moira, and I'm sure most of you have read them on many occasions, when it says there that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Now, both of those writings, prepare to meet thy God and the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, are scriptural words. They are from the Bible. And bearing in mind what I've just said, I want you to think with me for just a second or two back to the 1960s. I know a minister who at that time was not saved, and he was really into the Beatles. And the Beatles came to Northern Ireland. And I'm not sure whether it was the King's Hall or wherever it was down in Belfast, long before they came, people were organizing their circumstances and changing things as best they could in order that they might be part of Beatlemania, that they could be there when Ringo, George, Paul and John came along. Just some years ago, not as far back as the 1960s, there was a similar response from people in Northern Ireland when Cliff Richard was coming to Belfast. People made a point of getting to his concert, and they would rearrange their lives and put themselves out in some way in order that they would be able to be at his concert. And you think of next year. I think it's next year, isn't the Open, the Golf Open coming to Portrush? And people at this moment in time already making preparation. I know that, and I've been told about this and read about it, many householders around that area are making a point of not being at home, and they're renting their house out, which is very strategically placed for the Open, for silly money for the week. Money that you would not believe because of the location of the house. People are preparing for that. They're preparing for the Open just as they prepared for Cliff Richard coming, and they prepared when the Beatles were coming. When they hear that these things were going to happen, nothing will hold them back from making that preparation. And then we're back to the writing on the stone. And the writing up there in the wall as you go into Moira. And I would safely say tonight that very many people that look at those, that both of those pieces of writing, would pay any heed at all to what it says. Now, of course, there will be some that will, but in the large majority of instances, most people will not let prepare to meet thy God on a stone in the sea affect them at all. And they'll not prepare. And most people who read the coming of the Lord draweth nigh will think, oh, here we go again. They've been saying that for years. And they will pay no attention to it. And I think regarding these things, we have to say that when it comes to the most important matter of all, that is the matter of our soul and eternity, men are reluctant to prepare. And the Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter, he draws the attention of those that he's talking to at that time, right through the chapter, to various things that ought to prompt men and women to prepare for the coming, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words in verse 24 that form our text tonight, "Be ye also ready, come," well, they resound right down through the centuries and the generations to us tonight. An unsaved person, here's a word for you. Be ye also ready. something that is much more important than a golf tournament or any pub concert. It really is telling us tonight to prepare to meet thy God. And using those words of our text as the title tonight, be ye also ready, I want to draw your attention to several things. And we're thinking this evening of that day for which every other day was made, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again in glory. Four brief thoughts I have tonight. I want you to notice, first of all, the confirmation of his coming. The confirmation of his coming. I, and I trust you, are not foolish enough to sit down and listen to any man who will try to point us to dates, or will try to instill in us some kind of a thought regarding these things that is not founded upon the Bible. You see, if you want to find confirmation of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you turn to the Word of God. If you look with me there, just in this very chapter, in verses 29 and 30 and so on, it says there in verse 29, talking about the tribulations, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And then in the next verse it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. The wickedness that reigns today and the things that happen that make Christians cry and weep and breaks their hearts, because they feel helpless to do anything to bring about change regarding wickedness. One day, that is going to change. Because the Bible shows us here in verse 30, the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That is his day. And just to reaffirm what I've been saying about the Word telling us about that day, look at verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What we read in verse 30 is set in stone, as is all of God's word. It is set in stone. And the confirmation of his coming. Maybe we should think of what it says over there in the book of Acts, in the chapter 17, and the verse. Well, we look at one or two of the verses there that show us the state of things. Paul here is speaking to those at Mars Hill. They have a great degree of ignorance. And he seeks to show them in verse 26 that there's no difference in men. It doesn't matter about their color, their background, or anything else. They're of one blood, and that means they're all guilty before God, because the guilty blood of Adam, the tainted blood of Adam, flows in their veins. It says, he hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell in the face of the earth. All men are guilty before the Lord. But in verse 31 is one of the most challenging verses in the book of Acts. It says, because he hath appointed a day. Now, the word appointed there means, carries a thought of something that is immovable. Something that is definite. Maybe you've made an appointment with the doctor or with the dentist or the optician, whatever the case might be, and for whatever reason, you've had to change that, or they have changed it, and you can do that. Here's a day you'll never change. Because he hath appointed a day, and the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Here is a day that is appointed. And needless to say, men and women, it is a day that is approaching. And we see a little bit more about that in a minute. But it is a day that affords opportunity to people that are not saved. And if you're not saved tonight, this is your night. This is your opportunity. It says there, wherefore, verse 31, he hath given assurance unto all men and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection from the dead, some mocked and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Here was the Lord saying to them, a resurrected Christ is affirmation of a second coming of Christ. And folks, you could go on and on through the Word of God, looking for confirmations and finding them. The confirmation of his coming is the Word of God. You've read it before. You've heard it before. And you know that while of that day and that date, no man knows. We've read that tonight. Save the Father in heaven. I don't know why people read around that and come up with this notion. Oh, I know. I read not that long ago, but someone had set dates several times, maybe four or five times. And people were foolish enough to think, well, we'll give him another chance. Maybe he's got it this time. Of course he never got it. But if you want confirmation, look at the Bible. And suffice for you tonight to content yourself at this moment with this truth. Christ will be coming again. We met this morning around the Lord's table to remember his death. But we know that one day that will all be over. Because it's only till he come. Only till he come. The confirmation of his coming. But then secondly, I want you to notice the characteristics of the earth in the time of his coming. The characteristics on earth in the time of his coming. Maybe we should look back there. For instance, I think it's verse 6 of this chapter says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do you ever hear of wars these days? Do you ever hear of anything else? In almost every major nation on the earth, there's trouble or there is trouble brewing. Wars and rumors of wars. And then it says, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Then verse 7. Everybody holding their breath sometimes when they think of Russia and America. And what if two of the greatest, most powerful military nations on earth, What if they get flat out at it together? What about the rest of us? Here's the Bible saying to us that nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, plenty of those, and pestilences, plenty of those, and earthquakes in divers, or simply means different places, referring to places where they don't normally occur, or they don't historically occur. And that is happening. That is happening, and it's one of the characteristics of us entering into the end times. If you look again there, I think it's verse 11. It says, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. You don't have to go too far to find them. They're all around us. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There is great love about, but it's not for God, it's for sin. It's for sin. And these are just some of the characteristics of earth in the time when the Lord, leading up to the Lord returning. Rebellion. People rebelling in the home, people rebelling in their countries. Rebellion to be found on every hand, perhaps at an unparalleled level at this time, even among children. Restlessness. Sometimes you can feel how unsettled the country is and the world is. Restlessness all around, and there seems to be such discontentment, and nobody knows what's going to happen, and all around us everybody's thinking of themselves. Rebellion and restlessness and ruthlessness. Wicked men waxing worse and worse. And brothers and sisters, these are just some of the characteristics of earth when the time will come for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back again. Here in Matthew 24, I think it's verse 21, it says there, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. People love it. How people love that which is sensational. That which is exciting. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, now it doesn't, it's showing us it's not possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. Over there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read this quite quickly for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there shall come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." The Bible's telling us there, don't be surprised about these things. And let no man deceive you that there will be a falling away before the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 of this chapter 2 in 2 Thessalonians, a falling away first. And there's a falling away all around us. The Bible is a word called apostasia, which it refers, we call apostasy, which means falling away. Apostatizing, falling away from the truth of God. And as every year goes by, and some of you tonight, perhaps you're just in your 20s or you're a young person and maybe in your 30s, whatever, you can look back and say, well, since I was 12 or 13, there's been such turning away from the Bible, such falling away from the Bible. This is another one of the characteristics that would be prevalent on earth. You see, if we keep looking to the Bible, then we can't go wrong. People come out who are very learned, apparently, and extremely well-spoken, and their turn of phrase might be very effective, and they might have a great grasp of the English language, and they're able to put a great spin on what they're saying, and they can make you start to think, oh, maybe they're right. Well, I'll tell you tonight, if what they're saying doesn't tie in with what the Bible says, then you just totally disregard them. Totally disregard them. The fact that you need to know tonight and why you need to be ready is this. Number one, Christ is coming. Number two, those characteristics that will dominate the earth and be seen all around in the days running up to a second coming, many of them are seen around us today. There's another thought associated with these words. We've looked at the confirmation of his coming, the characteristics of earth in the time of his coming, second coming. But then, the calamity at his coming. What an awful day it's going to be for some. Look there in verse 37, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Not that there's anything wrong with getting married and you have to eat and drink, but the thought is this, they were doing everything. But they were neglecting Noah. They weren't listening to Noah's message. They had no time for this message of judgment that was coming. And it says here, that's what it's going to be like. And it goes right on down there to say, and here's the calamity, verse 40, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." This is going to be a time of division. A time when people who have loved one another on earth are going to be separated forever. And there'll be no more chance to come together for them. And you can look through this chapter yourself. It goes on there to talk about other things. concerning that day, exhorting all of us to be ready for that day. Over there in the book of Philippians, just want to read what it says in chapter 1, the verse 23. Apostle Paul at this stage was getting a bit older. He wasn't very well. And while he knew that his life on earth was valuable to other people, he knew that there were better days ahead of him, because he says in verse 23, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That was the thinking of the apostle at that time. The word depart there is a word in the original that has various meanings. One of the meanings is the word depart refers to the freeing of a slave. Someone who'd been in servitude and their time has come when they're set free. And what a blessed thing for them. It also carries the meaning of the breaking of camp, of someone who's in a camp there and for whatever reason they break camp and they're completely away from that camp. And there's yet another meaning associated with the word depart. It refers to the loosing of a ship's rope and anchor. And you pull up the rope and the anchor and you sail off. And that is the kind of thought was in the mind of the Apostle Paul. He would be set free from all of the things that had given him pain and torment in this life. He would be breaking camp, as it were. He would be sailing away to be with Christ. He's not being morbid. He's not saying life is of no value, but what he is saying is this. He's saying, I'm ready. I'm ready. And I asked you the question tonight. Can you truly say that you are ready right now? Because the word we're looking at the present time is the word calamity. Look over there in verse 25, chapter 25, the next chapter in verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Then they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. I'm sure you know the story. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest it be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That's an important part of the story. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. And here's the message. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The story's a very well-known one. The 5 foolish virgins who had no oil for their lamp, they went out to try to get oil, and they went at the wrong time. They went out too late, because they went out after the cry was there in verse 6, go ye out to meet him. That's an individual call. And one day it will be for me and you. And certainly when Christ's return, every man will give an account for himself. An individual called to go out to meet him. It's also immediate. The context here shows us that those 5 virgins who had no oil for their lamp, they were too late to go out to meet him. And tell me tonight, if the Lord were to come tomorrow, would you be ready? Can you truly say that there was that time when I made my peace with God by coming and trusting in him. Many, many years ago, there was a young girl who went away with her family. They were all saved and she wasn't saved. And they were away for some days and they had been out on an exhausting walk. And she came back and she fell asleep. And when she awakened at the log cabin that they're in, I believe it was, none of the rest of the family were in the house. And she went outside to look for them and she couldn't find any of them. And her immediate thought was that the Lord had come back and they were all gone to heaven because she was the only one that wasn't saved. And the story goes that there and then, she got down on her knees and she called upon God for mercy. And then her family turned up just after that. They'd just been down to the lake. But you see, the thought was in her mind that she wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. And all of this chapter 24 and part of chapter 25 and what we've been saying tonight, men and women, is to you that you must be ready. Be ye also ready. This is a day that is coming. We looked at Acts 17:31. The confirmation of it, the characteristics of it, the awful calamity of it. I could stand here all night and I could not paint a picture that would accurately display before you just how awful a day that's going to be for unsaved men and women. As I said, families divided forever. People separated from those that they love. Forever. People who had equal opportunity to be saved. Some came to the Lord and some didn't. And that day is fast approaching. There's one final word and it is the word care. The care that is needed. Because if you look there in verse 42, it says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And then it says in verse 44, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." This is the crisis time in the meeting. It's the time when you have to decide what you're going to do. Because I believe tonight that you understand and you believe everything that we've said regarding this matter. That Christ is coming, because the Bible says. The things that are happening in this world today show us that we're certainly entering into the end time. Now, I'm not time setting, but I know that we're entering into the last times, the last days, whatever that is. The indications are all there. The calamity, you believe that because you know there's a heaven to gain if you know Christ and a hell to shun. But then is the care. And this is the crisis for you because you must do something with the Lord. You either come to him tonight and that means you have got ready, or else you reject him again. And we must leave the matter with you right now. But we would say to you this evening, if you're not saved, be ye also ready. But get ready tonight. Get ready tonight. Because in the time that you don't think it, you may be called out to meet him. Remember those virgins? The cry went, "Go ye out to meet him. Go ye out to meet him." Tell me tonight, are you ready to meet him? Well, the good news is that you can be ready if you will come and trust him and make him your Savior this evening.